Yalla Leap Podcast.
Yalla Leap Podcast.
Covering all the latest news and results from the AEW.
In a minute. Sean Spears. Chair shot right to the side of the head of Cody.
This is pro wrestling analysis as you've never heard before.
Deathly Hallows!
Might be it.
One, two, three, can save it!
Coming to you every single week. So without any further delay, let's go all in and get the show started right now.
What is up, guys? Welcome to this week's edition of the All Elite Podcast right here on the WWE Podcast. I am your host, Jeff Johnson. We are here for another week of AEW Dynamite. I am really excited, really looking forward to this show. Hope you guys are all doing well. You guys are staying safe out there. I know times are a little crazy right now. I don't want to get into a whole lot of what's going on currently. If you guys want to know my opinion on the things, you guys can follow my Twitter. I put a post on it. I post about it a couple of days ago. It is crazy out there, and there's a lot of things going on. We'll put it that way. So hopefully you guys are staying safe and you're looking out for yourselves and for your families and everything. And you know, COVID's still out there too. So hopefully you guys are taking care, staying safe from that as well. But with that being said, we got a big edition of Dynamite tonight. We have the first defense of the TNT title with Cody defending the TNT Championship against Jungle Boy. We have a tag team title match pitting the champions Kenny Omega and Hangman Page taking on the team of Sabian and Jimmy Havoc, Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc, sorry, that got their number one contendership last week. We have Le Champion Chris Jericho taking on Colt Cabana. We have the former women's champion Nyla Rose taking on Big Swole, and we got Brian Cage in action. And also, we're going to get a sit-down interview with FTR, who made their surprise debut last week. They're going to be sitting down with Tony Schiavone to talk about what their plans are in AEW. So we have a huge show planned. This is going to be a great show. A lot of great action. I'm looking forward to it. This is going to be an absolute blast. But before we get to it, guys, make sure you guys subscribe to the WWE Podcast on all your podcasting platforms: Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you guys get your podcasts. Make sure you guys subscribe. And for those of you on Apple Podcasts, make sure you leave us a 5-star review and let us know what you think about the show. All the shows here on the podcast feed. Gosh, so many shows throughout the week, 5, 6, 7 shows that are released every week on the feed. So make sure you guys check them all out and leave a review. Let us know what you think of them. All right, guys, with that being said, let's get into it. Let's get into this week's edition of AEW Dynamite. So Dynamite starts off this week with our big tag team title match pinning the champions Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega taking on the team of Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc. This was a really, really fun match. I enjoyed this a lot. Big time opener for Dynamite this week. I thought both teams had a really good showing. It was good to see Hangman back in the ring again. It's been, it's been a couple of months since we've seen him, since before the pandemic started. He's got young children at home, so he's been kind of staying away. He's been on BTE most weeks he's been on BTE, but haven't seen him on Dynamite in a while. We saw him, out in the stadium before Double or Nothing, and then we saw him, of course, in the Stadium Stampede match, but inside an actual AEW ring on Dynamite, it's been a long time, so it's good to see him back. This was a very hard-hitting match, very back and forth between both teams. Both teams had really, really good showings. They did a really good job of building up Sabian and Havoc lately, because they were one of those teams that really weren't doing a whole lot. They were kind of just sitting in the mid-card, kind of just losing matches here and there. They'd pick up one win just to keep a little momentum, but not really doing a whole lot. But over the last few weeks, though, they've really done a good job of building these guys up and making them credible, a credible team to go after the titles. And they showed that they belonged as a team. I really enjoyed this match a lot. They did show the best friends sitting in the crowd. They're the official number one contenders, and they will be facing the winners of this match at Fyter Fest. But they also showed FTR sitting in the crowd. They were a little further back. They were kind of like actually in the stadium seats watching the matches that was going on. They showed them on the camera a couple times. So I like what they're doing with the tag team division. They're showing that there's multiple teams that are going to be in lines for the tag team titles, which is great. You want to progress storylines. You want to keep things fresh. And an easy way to do that is just to show, hey, you know, there's not just this one team. There's multiple teams that are going to be vying for these titles that are fighting their way up. And, you know, when you have a team as big as FTR coming in, you know, they're automatically going to be, you know, towards the top of the heap. So I like what they were doing by showcasing these different tag teams during this match. I thought it was a really good way of broadcasting it. The champions did retain in this match. They hit their move called the Last Call, which is the Buckshot Lariat V trigger combination on Jimmy Havoc and Hangman Page pinned to get the victory. So good big win for the champions. They retained their titles, and you know, we're moving on to Fyter Fest. Now it'll be Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega taking on the Best Friends, and that's a match that I'm gonna love to see, because as I've mentioned a couple times before, I'm a big fan of the Best Friends. I like them a lot. Speaking of a team that's been on a roll and really been built up, that's you know, the Best Friends are definitely that in the tag team division. Very similar to what we saw with Hikaru Shida in the women's division before she won the title, where they got all these victories and, you know, big wins in a row, you know, leading up to their title shots. So I think the Best Friends are a credible threat for the tag team titles against Hangman and Kenny Omega. And, you know, I'm still not getting away from this, guys. I'm holding out the fact that something's going to happen between Omega and Paige, whether it be Paige turning, whether it be Omega turning. I don't know which one it's going to be, but something's going to happen with one of them. The writing's on the wall. We've seen the tease from it. Earlier this year, I think it was, or as late last year, I think it was an All Out when Hangman teased the Buckshot on Kenny. Yeah, because it was the match against the Bucks. So yeah, that's still there. And, you know, I think it's kind of one of those out of sight, out of mind type things where, you know, Hangman's been away for a while. People have kind of forgotten about the whole teased Buckshot thing, but hey, that's why I'm here to remind you guys that seed is still planted, and I think we're going to start seeing it get watered a little bit heading towards Fyter Fest and heading towards All Out this year. So I'm probably going to talk about the tag team division quite a bit tonight, especially with the interview with FTR coming up. But the tag division is always incredible in AEW, and this match highlighted it. It showed it, because, you know, you have a team like Sabian and Havoc that are kind of a makeshift team that haven't been together real long, but they've been together long enough that, you know, that they've been built up the right way, or at least over the last couple of months, that going into this match, you're like, hey, maybe they got a chance. You know, they've had the big wins. They had a couple of close near falls in this match, and, you know, you thought maybe they had a chance, but, you know, it wasn't to be. The Hangman Adam Page and Kenny Omega are still your AEW World Tag Team Champions. Next up, we got the Machine Brian Cage coming out for his match, and, you know, this was another squash match for him, just another showcase for Brian Cage, show his athleticism, getting him ready for his Fyter Fest match against the AEW World Champion Jon Moxley. You know, Brian Cage is very impressive. I've been a fan of his for a while. Really got to know him when he was in Lucha Underground doing some stuff there, and then, you know, he went over to Impact for a while, did some stuff, but Lucha Underground is where I really started to learn how good this guy was. And he's one of those guys, you look at him, you're like, man, you feel like he'd be tailor-made for like the WWE, just the way he's built, the way he looks. But, you know, he did have a cup of coffee with them at one time, and I know a lot of people said that they thought he was too short and stuff like that, but this guy is awesome. He's very, very impressive. And I like that they're putting the rocket to him right off the bat, you know, giving him the big ladder match win at Double or Nothing, and now just throwing him right into the fire with him and Moxley. During this match, they did announce that Fyter Fest is going to be July 1st and July 8th. It's going to be a two-night event on Wednesday nights during Dynamite. So it's going to be very similar to how the Bash of the Beach was last year, where it's kind of just special editions of Dynamite is the way they're going to do Fyter Fest. So I like that. I think it's, you know, it's a little different, but I think it's going to work. I think it's going to be very good. I am a little disappointed, because I know the original plan was for them to have Fyter Fest in England, and I know the English fans were really looking forward to that. It was going to be AEW's first time over there. But, you know, unfortunately, with due to the COVID-19 and the travel bans, you know, they're not able to do that. So hopefully an event will get rescheduled for England, because the English fans are incredible, and there's so much fun, you know, there's so much fun to watch during wrestling events. We see it all the time in other organizations. So You know, AEW fans are loud and passionate as it is. The AEW English fans, I can't wait to see what an event over there is going to be like. So hopefully we get that sooner than later. But anyways, back to Dynamite. You know, just quick win here for Brian Cage. Taz cut a promo afterwards on Jon Moxley saying that, you know, Moxley was laughing at him last week. But he told Moxley that this isn't a game, that, you know, if you take this as a game, pretty much you're going to lose your title at Fighter Fest. Well, that brought out the AEW World Champion, Jon Moxley. Moxley got in the ring and pretty much said that the reason he was laughing and smiling is because he's excited. He's looking forward to facing somebody like a Brian Cage because, you know, it'll test him. And that's what he's in here for, is to have these big matches and to defend his title. But he told Brian Cage, he said, when he's in the ring with Jon Moxley, it's not going to be a game. Taking the title from him is not something that he's going to be able to do. So very good promo here by Taz and by Moxley. I thought both guys showed a lot of fire. And they're doing a good job of building this up with no physicality yet, which is good. I like these type of buildups that don't have a lot of physicality. You know, save it for the big event. And, you know, maybe they can have Cage, you know, lay out Moxley or something, the go home show for Fighter Fest or something like that, you know, just to have that one kind of dominant moment. But I love these builds that take some time. You know, Fighter Fest is a month from now, so we still have 4 or 5 episodes of Dynamite between now and Fighter Fest. So I hope they stay apart, just cut some promos, you know. And that would be the best way to do it, in my opinion. Like I said, I'm old school. I like stuff like that. But if they do something closer to Fighter Fest with Brian Cage maybe attacking Moxley, I'd be okay with that too. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good match. You know, do they put the title on Cage? I don't know. You know, they gave him the big moment at Double or Nothing to be the first winner of the casino ladder match to become the number one contender. So, hey, you know, how tightly is that rocket strapped on Brian Cage? We're going to find out at Fyre Fest. But right now, Cage looks really impressive, and I think it's going to be a great match between him and Moxley at Fyre Fest on July 1st. Next up, we joined Private Party at a local bar. It looked like they were talking about their match from last week, and they were kind of talking about the injury that Isaiah Cassidy suffered. It looks like he's okay. Looks like he's good to go. But they end up being joined by Matt Hardy. Hardy shows up, and you know they're kind of marking out a little bit for Matt Hardy. And Hardy said that he really enjoyed the match that they had, and you know they showed a little camaraderie after the injury when Hardy helped him to the back. And Hardy pretty much told him that he wants to be kind of a mentor for them, that, you know, that Private Party reminds him of he and his brother Jeff back when they were younger, when they were breaking into the business with their high flying abilities and their exciting style. And Private Party was just eating this up. They were loving it. And Hardy pretty much told him, he was like, look, you know, we got a lot of help whenever we were young from veterans, and you know, I want to be there to help you guys as well. So he told him that he has their back, and you know, if they need anything, just to kind of let him know. And of course, Private Party, like I said, was all for this, and they said that, you know, together they're gonna be known as the Hardy Party, which was pretty funny. And Matt Hardy seemed like he really enjoyed that too. And I wanted to bring this segment up because I really enjoyed this a lot, and it looks like Matt Hardy's gonna be moving on from the Elite a little bit. So they're going to be putting him with Private Party, and it is kind of a weird matchup a little bit with these guys. You know, definitely different styles, I guess, different characters. But you know, if Matt's going to kind of play this mentor role for Private Party, I love this a lot for Private Party, because they're exciting, and they're one of the best tag teams in the world, in my opinion, not just in AEW. They're really exciting. They cut really good promos. They're really young, and I think the sky's the limit for Private Party. And they've, you know, AEW's done a really good job of pushing these guys and making them very relevant right off the bat. I mean, they came in, you know, not long after they debuted, maybe even their first match, I don't remember exactly, but they knocked off the Young Bucks in the tag team title tournament to crown the first champions. So I was, you know, so they've done a really good job with Private Party. We just really haven't seen them much with the pandemic going on, but you know, they've been back the last couple of weeks and they've had some really good showings. So I love that they're doing something with this. And you know, Matt's going to be kind of doing his thing, but it does look like that Matt's moving on from the Elite, that the Elite are going to be kind of doing their thing, and Matt Hardy's going his own direction. So I like this a lot. I really do. And I'm curious to see where they're going to go with Private Party from here. You know, we talked about the tag team division earlier and how stacked it is, and with all these big teams, and Private Party still there, and they're relevant, and they're, you know, having putting on great matches every single time they're out. So, man, this tag division is just so good in AEW, and every team seems like they're relevant, and that's what I love so much about this. It reminds me back a couple years ago in NXT when tag team wrestling was kind of the mainstay. It was what was putting on the best matches, you know, with FTR now. But, you know, when there were the Revival and American Alpha, DIY, all these teams in NXT put on these incredible tag team matches. I'll throw AOP in there also. I thought the Authors of Pain were having great matches also with these guys. NXT tag teams for a good year or two was just the top of the wrestling world. And AEW's doing something very similar. They talked about this right off the bat whenever AEW launched, that tag team wrestling is going to be very, very prominent, and they've kept their word. And then, you know, when Pentagon Jr. gets back, when the Hybrid 2 gets back, you know, it's going to make it even better. This tag team division is going to be so, so good. When the Dark Order come back, you know, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson, when they come back, man, there's so many great tag teams in AEW. And that's another reason that I keep bringing this up, to think about Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, is that they're the tag team champions right now, but there's so many good tag teams. They don't really need them as a team anymore. You know, they can go and do their singles run, and they can feud with each other, and the tag team division will be just fine. So I think there is going to be a changing of the guard here pretty soon. Could be Private Party. I'm sorry. Could be the Best Friends as early as Fighter Fest, but I don't know. But there's a lot of tag teams that could take that gold, and, you know, you look at them and go, that's a great team. You know, they're going to be great champions. So, man, I love the tag team division AEW. It's one of my favorite things about the company for sure. So in the ring, we get the entrance of Colt Boom Boom Cabana, and he's going one-on-one with Le Champion Chris Jericho. This is kind of stemming from last week during the brawl between Jericho and Mike Tyson, when Cabana kind of got in Jericho's face. Then they had an altercation backstage as well, and that kind of led to the match this week. This is a fun match between two veterans. Both guys, you know, looked really good. They said this is Jericho's third singles match this year, which is crazy when you think about it, but that's actually true. This is only his third match. But, you know, Jericho looked really good in this. I thought Colt Cabana looked good. And, you know, I kind of had this thing running through my mind, seeing Jericho and Cabana against each other. It kind of reminded me of back in WWE when Jericho feuded with CM Punk. And I know, you know, CM Punk, Colt Cabana, yes, that's a long story for a different podcast for sure. But, you know, we've seen Jericho feud with CM Punk, and now we're seeing Jericho in the ring with Colt Cabana. I just thought it was kind of cool, you know, as a fan of all those guys. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really, really cool, really well done. But the match was very back and forth. It was pretty hard hitting. And in the end, Cabana kind of went for a misdirection in the corner. When he turned around, he ate a Judas effect, and Jericho gets the win. But after the match, Jericho cut a promo on Mike Tyson, pretty much saying, you know, Mike Tyson, you know, I want you right now. I don't want to wait till the next pay-per-view. I don't want to wait until next week. I want to fight you right now. Obviously doing this knowing Mike Tyson's not in the building, you know, just typical heel move, typical Chris Jericho move, calling somebody up that's not there. And he said over and over again, I want the baddest man on the planet. You know, where's the baddest man on the planet? He needs to come face me right now. All of a sudden, the Best Friends music hits, and out comes Orange Cassidy. So Jericho got his wish. He got the baddest man on the planet in Orange Cassidy. Cassidy gets in the ring and takes both of Jericho's hands and kind of puts it in Jericho's, like inside Jericho's belt, because Jericho doesn't have pockets. So put his hands in his pockets pretty much. He puts his own hands in his pocket, and then Jake Hager tries to get a cheap shot. And Orange Cassidy rolls out of the way, rolls past Jericho, takes off, it rolls out of the ring, and the Best Friends kind of back him up outside the ring. So they're definitely teasing something between Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy. This kind of stems from last week as well, when Jericho was cutting the promo and Orange Cassidy walked by, and then they attacked him before he came out for the Battle Royal. So yeah, this looks like this is the start of Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy, which is insane. It's not something I thought I would ever say, a feud between these two guys. But, you know, this is kind of what Jericho's done. You know, yes, Jericho's been at the top of the mountain. He was the champion for a long time, but he's doing a good job with these younger talent. You know, we saw it with his match with Darby Allin. We saw him with Jungle Boy, Scorpio Sky. You know, Sky has been around a little longer. You know, it's Jericho's done a good job of building building up these guys that aren't on the top of the mountain and making them very, very relevant. And it looks like Orange Cassidy is going to be next, because Cassidy is one of the hottest wrestlers in AEW. I mean, his fan following is massive and everybody loves this guy. And I'm excited to think of the potential of a Chris Jericho and Orange Cassidy feud. And then, you know, if the Best Friends win the tag team titles, you got Santana and Ortiz in the Inner Circle that could be feuding with them for the tag titles. So I think this is the start of something, and start of something big for the Best Friends. They've been, you know, like I mentioned earlier, they've had the rocket strapped to them. They've had some big wins. They're going for the tag team titles. Orange Cassidy's the hottest thing in wrestling right now. So they're striking while the iron's hot with these guys. And I think this is going to be a really fun feud. I would like to see if they add somebody else to this just to kind of even the sides a little bit. I don't know if they will or who they will. I'm not sure, because obviously the Inner Circle has the numbers advantage, but and it looks like we're getting the Best Friends Orange Cassidy against the Inner Circle here pretty soon. And I like it a lot, and especially Jericho and Orange Cassidy. And I can see Orange Cassidy getting a big victory out of this to really elevate him to that next level. So this is going to be a fun feud. There's plenty of time to build it. I would guess we might get Jericho and Orange Cassidy at Fyter Fest, because as of right now, I don't think Jericho's doing anything at Fyter Fest. So he and Cassidy is probably going to be a pretty big marquee matchup on that show. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to seeing how they build up to that match. Next up, we get the former AEW Women's Champion Nyla Rose taking on Big Swole. And this is actually Big Swole's first match back in what they said was a couple of months. So good to see her back in the ring. She was actually rocking some yellow Power Ranger gear, which I thought was really cool. You know, I'm a 90s kid, so you know, I was a big Power Ranger fan growing up. So to see her rocking the yellow Power Ranger gear, I was pretty stoked to see it. This was a good match. You know, Nyla Rose, I've mentioned a few times before, she's really came into her own and really gotten good in the ring, and this was no exception. And Big Swole, you know, I'm not gonna lie, I've been a little hard on Big Swole. I didn't think she was that great starting out. I know it's kind of harsh for me to say, but she's another one I think has really came into her own and gotten very, very good. And she had an amazing showing in this match. She's really opened my eyes up a lot. I think she's a really good character. She's got a lot of charisma, and she moves really well in the ring. And you know, she had some good power spots against Nyla Rose. That was very, very impressive. Toward the end of the match, Nyla Rose went for a beast bomb, and Big Swole actually flipped out of it and got a really close two count. It was a very, very good near fall. And I got to give Nyla Rose credit. She had a couple of kickouts in this match that made for some really interesting near falls. So, you know, that's kind of a lost art in a way. And like I said before, I'm an old school wrestling fan. So I like those really close kickouts, you know, right before the three count. And Nyla Rose does a really good job of that. So both these ladies had a very, very good showing. But in the end, Nyla Rose hit a sit-out spine buster to get the victory. So Nyla Rose is your winner. And they did say on commentary that she is still the number one contender for the AEW Women's Championship, currently held by Hikaru Shida. So it looks like they're going to continue Nyla Rose versus Shida, probably at Fyter Fest, I would say. They're going to do their rematch. And, you know, I would be surprised if Shida dropped the title to her, considering she just won it in a really great match against Nyla Rose back at Double or Nothing. So I'm expecting Shida to retain the title. Nothing's been made official yet, but I kind of assume that's the way they're going. After the match, though, Tony Schiavone did an interview with Big Swole, and she said that she's great. She's happy to be back. She feels good. And, you know, this was kind of a learning experience from her. Well, Britt Baker is sitting in the crowd in the back of a truck in her wheelchair, and she's sitting there jawing at Big Swole, and it kind of gets Big Swole's attention. Big Swole grabs a chair and kind of throws it at her, and Britt's just sitting there freaking out about it. So it was really funny. It was a really funny segment. And it just kind of showed that Britt Baker's still going to be a thorn in people's sides, especially Big Swole's, I guess, going forward. So, you know, Britt Baker's doing a good job of keeping herself relevant during this injury. And, you know, like we mentioned last week, she's only going to be out for 8 weeks. So, you know, nothing too serious. She will miss Fyter Fest, which does suck. But she said in her interview last week she will be back for All Out. So, you know, maybe Britt Baker and Big Swole will have a match at All Out if they want to continue this feud for that long. So I think that's a good match for both ladies, especially Big Swole, because that's going to be a big step up for her. Especially if she can get a victory over Britt Baker when Britt comes back. But yeah, I was very impressed with Big Swole and Nyla Rose, but Big Swole, you know, more so. I think she's got a really bright future. I liked a lot of stuff she does, so I'm excited to see what she does going forward. After this, Tony Schiavone sits down with FTR to get their first official interview for AEW. Looks like they were sitting at some kind of... I thought it was a really nice house at first, but I saw some like a Jacksonville Jaguars marquee in the background. So I don't know if it was something like on the premises of the stadium or maybe Tony Khan's house. Like, I don't know. I don't know exactly where they were, but this was a really good interview. I thought both guys of FTR showed a lot of passion. They showed like that they're very, very happy to be where they're at. I'm still trying to kind of get their names down. I know it's Dax Harwood and Dash Wheeler, and I could be wrong about that, but I think that's their names. I'm still kind of learning what their names are, but I'll get it down soon. I promise you guys. But you know, they kind of ran down all the tag teams that they want to face in AEW, and you know, talked about how they're looking forward to it, and including, you know, Butcher and the Blade. Even though they got physical with them last week, they're looking forward to facing them. But one team they did not mention though was the Young Bucks, and Tony Schiavone kind of called him out on it and said, "Hey, you know, you guys didn't mention them. What about them?" And they said that, you know, that's the match that's the dream match everybody's looking forward to. And that's, you know, the main reason they're there is to become the AEW World Champions, but they're also want to prove that they are the best tag team in the world. And they know they have to beat the Young Bucks to prove that. Well, Tony also asked him, "Why didn't you attack them last week like you attacked Butcher and the Blade?" And they made it known that they want the Young Bucks at 100%. They don't want any excuses. You know, no broken ribs, no, you know, previously linging injury or anything. They want them 110% at their very best when they beat them. That way, everybody knows who the best tag team in the world is. So I love this promo by FTR. I mean, they just showed so much passion. They're already being booked as a big deal. And, you know, as soon as the interview ended, Butcher and the Blade came down the stairs jawing with them. And they pretty much said, "Hey, what happened last week," or talking about FTR said, "What happened last week was just business. It wasn't personal. Even though you guys take it personally, it wasn't personal." And they told him, they said, "Let's settle this next week in the ring." And Butcher and the Blade agreed. And so next week we have the in-ring debut of FTR taking on Butcher and the Blade. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think FTR is going to shine big time in AEW, which is no surprise. They're a great tag team. Everybody's been saying for a while, once they get there, they're really going to stand out. So I'm stoked. I love the team of FTR. I loved them as the Revival in WWE. I thought they were very underutilized, even though, you know, they are multiple time tag team champions. I thought they did some really good stuff in NXT, but they just never really, you know, were able to get going in on the main roster on Raw or SmackDown. And a lot of it just because of the way they were booked, and they were never really given that opportunity to show exactly what they can do and how good they can be. But in AEW, I feel like they will be able to. So I'm really looking forward to this match next week for their debut. I would be surprised if they lose. We haven't seen Butcher and the Blade do a whole lot lately, and FTR is making their debut. So I think that one's pretty easy to call. I think it's going to be a big victory for FTR. But hey, they're a big deal, top guys, you know, and they're going to prove it. And they already are proving it just by the couple of appearances they've already made on Dynamite. All right, guys, it is main event time for the TNT Championship. We have the champion Cody Rhodes taking on Jungle Boy Jack Perry, who won a battle royal last week to become the number one contender for the title. Before the match started, they announced that next week, Mark Quinn of Private Party will be getting the next shot against the winner of this match for the TNT Championship. And I made a little error earlier. I said that that Cassidy's the one that got the injury, but it was actually Mark Quinn that got the injury. So I apologize for that. But Mark Quinn is good. His knee is fine. He'll be good to go, and he will be facing the winner of this main event next week on Dynamite. And this was another really fun match. You know, they've been giving Jungle Boy some good opportunities against some top tier talent, and he's really showed that he belongs. He's made some huge strides since coming into the company. You know, when he first started, he was kind of just that exciting, high-flying type guy. But he's really kind of came into his own. I love the Jurassic Express group as a whole. But Jungle Boy, for me, has really stood out. He's changed his look a little bit. He's, you know, he looks a little bigger, put a little bit of size on. But he's still very, very exciting, and he's very smooth in the ring. So I really became a big fan of him, and his match with MJF, a Double or Nothing, in my opinion, kind of stole the show, which I had expectations for that going into it, and thankfully it delivered. And that, you know, that goes credit to MJF as well. Those guys just have incredible chemistry together. This match was really good too. I thought Cody and Jungle Boy worked really well together. The big spot of the match is that they were on the outside, and Cody hits a headbutt on Jungle Boy to send him into up against one of the walls. When Cody goes for another headbutt, and Jungle Boy moves, and Cody headbutts the wall. Well, after this happens, Jungle Boy goes face to face with MJF in the crowd, and MJF's pretty much telling him, "Let's go now, let's go now," jawing at each other back and forth. Well, they go back to Cody, and Cody's busted open. So, you know, Cody's got blood running down his face from headbutting the wall. And, you know, this kind of turned the tide of the match a little bit. Jungle Boy kind of took over, had some really, really exciting offense. His offense is so much fun to watch. But in the end, Cody came back, and, they had a spot toward the end of the match where they were standing on the top rope fighting each other. Well, they both fell off the top rope to the outside where a table was set up, and they both crashed through the table. So the spot was exciting, and it was fun to watch, but there was one thing about it I wasn't a big fan of. I don't know if it was due to time restraints because, you know, the match was getting kind of close to the top of the hour, but they went through the table, and then about, I don't know, 15 seconds later, Cody's back on his feet and picks up Jungle Boy, throws him in the ring, and Jungle Boy ends up attacking Cody while Cody's getting back in the ring. So I don't know, like I thought there should have been a little more selling when it came to the table spot. I thought, you know, both guys should have laid there a little longer to kind of play it out a little bit, let the visual kind of tell a story. But it had to have been a time restraint thing. But both the guys kind of popped up from that table spot and just kind of continued what they were doing. So I don't know. It's a little nitpicky, I guess, but I wanted to see a little more selling when it came to that. To that bump, because it was one of the bigger bumps of the match. But back in the ring, Cody takes control, hits a wicked crossroads that Jungle Boy just completely sold perfectly, and Cody gets the pinfall victory to retain the TNT Championship. They showed a replay of the crossroads afterwards, and Jungle Boy pretty much spiked himself right on top of his head on this crossroads. It looked really good, but you could tell it was safe, but it was very, very good. After the match, the Nightmare family came out to congratulate Cody. Jurassic Express came out to help up Jungle Boy. Jungle Boy and Cody embraced as the pyro went off, showing a lot of respect for each other. And Dynamite goes off the air with Cody holding up the TNT Championship. So, good main event. You know, it's... They're doing AEW's doing a great job, and you know, this is something I do say every single week, but they're doing a great job of building up their new talent, their younger talent. You know, Jericho's doing a great job of it. Cody's doing a great job. You know, these guys that are veterans that are higher up on the card, I mean, they're making the effort and taking the time to really put a spotlight on the younger talent, and I love that. Something that I'm big about this company. They're looking forward to the future because, you know, Jericho's not going to be around a whole lot longer, more than likely. Cody, you know, Cody's in his mid-30s. You know, how many years does he have left? When is he going to transition to more of a backstage role? You know, those are all questions that are going to be answered probably sooner than later. So it's going to be up to this younger talent, these guys in their mid to early 20s, to really step up and make a name for themselves now. So when that time does happen, you know, the company can rest on their shoulders and be able to go forward. And they've done a great job with that. You know, MJF, Jungle Boy, Private Party, like we mentioned, Darby Allin, you know, all these guys, these are guys that are really young. That's going to be the future of this company. Once the Elite are done, once, you know, Cody's done and Jericho's done, Sammy Guevara, I'm gonna throw him in there too. These are all the younger talent that's really going to take AEW to the next level, and it's going to be up to them. And I love that the veterans are taking the time and the effort to make these guys into stars. I got the one, Orange Cassidy too. I can't leave him out. Orange Cassidy is going to be a prominent player in this as well, but you know, he's a little older also. He's in his mid 30s. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people think Orange Cassidy's, you know, cause he looks so young. They think he's in his mid to late 20s. He's not, he's 35 years old. So, you know, don't know how much longer Orange Cassidy is going to be around, even though he has, you know, the style that's going to probably wrestle till he's 70. But you know, I'm really excited. It really warms my heart to see what this company's doing for the younger talent, and you know, giving them the television time, the promo time, and getting these guys over, because it's gonna work out in the long run. It's really gonna help out the company as a whole and these guys in their careers. I want to real quick talk about Chris Jericho's podcast. He had Pineapple Pete on this week, which we saw over the last few weeks. He's been feuding with Chris Jericho, but you know, to hear the story of him coming up was really, really good. He's a 16-year veteran, but he talked about how he's very grateful to Chris Jericho for Jericho just taking the time to even acknowledge him and to, you know, make him into a household name. And he did. Jericho did that on commentary, and you know, and then between their interactions, you know, he got the big break that he deserved to make a big name for himself. And that's, you know, that's kind of what I'm harping here, is that, you know, the veteran talent and the guys that have been there, you know, the guys that have been in WWE, you know, that know how to build these younger guys to make them into stars, they're doing it. It's not the veterans just taking over and having things their way, which was something people were afraid of when AEW started. You know, a lot of people, especially online, were saying it's just going to be the elite, you know, and their friends running roughshod and running through the company and stuff like that, which, you know, it still gets that a lot, you know, with, you know, Cody being TT champion and Hangman and Kenny being tag champions, Moxley being the AEW champion. You know, I see where some people could still say that, because the top of the top is still the elite and the old WWE guys. But, you know, I still think that AEW's, they're still in that new company echelon. So you got to take the time to build up these stars, and that's what they're doing. So this time next year, I think, is when you're going to see these newer talent kind of start taking over this company. And they're doing it the right way. They're doing it slowly, but they're making an effort. And that's what I enjoy so much about AEW, is that every single week you're seeing a new talent grow and take that step towards the next level. So I'm excited for what AEW has going forward for everybody in the company. All right, guys, that's going to be it for this week. I hope you guys enjoyed Dynamite. Hope you guys enjoyed the podcast. This was a lot of fun, as usual. You know, there's going to be quite a bit of content coming up pretty soon with Fighter Fest coming up. They did say that Fighter Fest is going to be at 9 o'clock or 10 Eastern, 9 Central on July 1st and July 8th. So I don't know if that's going to be like a two-hour Dynamite plus Fighter Fest afterwards. But if that's the case, then hey, I got a lot of podcasting to do in that week span. So there's going to be quite a bit of AEW content coming forward. But speaking of content, guys, there's a lot of content on the WWE podcast. You know, Matt's dropping his shows. You know, you guys got your NXT reviews. You got your nostalgia shows. Everything. You know, if you guys, all of your wrestling content you guys need is on this podcast. So make sure you guys check all of it out. Everybody works really hard and puts out some great shows. As always, guys, make sure to subscribe on all your podcasting platforms. Leave a 5-star review for us. Let us know what you guys think. And until next week, guys, hope you guys take care, and I will see y'all then. Have a good one.